In 2008, on the eve of the global financial crisis, Drexel University used the pomp and circumstances of its annual commencement ceremony to confer an honorary degree on one of Wall Street's most famous investors. Carl Icahn had amassed a fortune estimated at $17 billion by buying large positions in companies he considered badly managed, then using his ownership position to force managers and directors to take whatever steps he deemed necessary, shutting plants, selling off divisions and assets, slashing worker pay and pensions, reducing investments, buying back shares, to boost the company's stock prices and allow him to sell out at a handsome profit. The strategy was so effective that just the news that Icahn had taken an interest in a company could boost the stock price by 10%. His targets have included Trans World Airlines, U.S. Steel, Phillips Petroleum, Texaco, Time Warner, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, and most recently, Xerox. When he started in the mid-1980s, people like Icahn were referred to pejoratively as corporate raiders, green mailers, and asset strippers, sneered at by the business press, criticized by business school professors, and shunned by the business establishment. It should tell you how much our sensibilities have changed that Icahn is now commonly referred to as an activist investor, lionized on the cover of Time magazine as a master of the universe, and celebrated with an honorary degree. As a leading shareholder activist, Mr. Icahn believes his efforts have unlocked billions of dollars in shareholder value, Drexel's president declared in awarding him an honorary doctorate of business administration, awkwardly sidestepping the question of what Drexel believed. To nobody's surprise, there was no mention of the hardball tactics Icahn used to unlock all that shareholder value and amass his personal fortune. Rather, the citation went on to praise Icahn's generosity in giving away a portion of that fortune to benefit the sick and the homeless. As the philosopher Charles Kurelis has observed, academic ceremonies like the one that played out in Philadelphia, what was said, as well as what was left out, perfectly illustrate the moral paradox of free market capitalism. The financiers celebrated that morning had played an outsized role in an economic system that had conferred on every member of that day's graduating class a standard of living well beyond the reach of those still trapped in societies where free market capitalism does not exist. Yet, despite those incalculable benefits, we are reluctant to praise the self-interested traits and aggressive tactics that have been vital to the success of that system. If such traits and tactics are not vices, we don't exactly view them as virtues either. Among the first to note this moral paradox between what he called private vices and public benefits was Bernard Mondeville. Born in the Netherlands in 1680, Mondeville studied medicine and philosophy at Leiden before moving to England, where he found both popularity and controversy as a writer. Mondeville's most famous work was The Fable of the Bees, which told of a flourishing hive of bees that, though relentless and sometimes dishonest in their individual pursuit of self-interest, had achieved a level of collective comfort and pleasure in which the very poor lived better than the rich before. The industrious bees, however, were not content merely to enjoy their luxurious new paradise. They begged the gods for a more selfless virtue. So, Jove grants them their wish to rid themselves of all their selfish vices. And almost immediately the bees discover that they are no longer driven to compete with each other. Their prosperity disappears, apathy sets in, and the hive is left vulnerable to a devastating attack. The few bees that survive take refuge in the hollow of a tree, where their newfound virtue and thrift condemn them to a simple, impoverished existence. Mondeville said his intent was to show the impossibility of enjoying all the most elegant comforts of life that are to be met within an industrious, wealthy, and powerful nation, and at the same time be blessed with all the virtue and innocence that can be wished for in a golden age. 300 years later, this dilemma still confounds. We are still looking for a way to reconcile our moral distaste for the ruthless pursuit of self-interest with our admiration and appreciation of the benefits it generates.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.